Well, that concludes our service today. Thank you, Frank. Oh, it's so wonderful to serve a living God. Here it's Wednesday. It is Wednesday, right? And in the morning, now did you imagine yourself sitting in the house of God on Wednesday morning? I didn't. I'm usually on my second cup of coffee at this time. I'm heading to the gym, maybe. I don't know where I'm going. But it's a privilege to be here. It's a privilege to be able to speak the Word of God. And it's funny because I had a message that I spent hours writing out. Okay, I'm going to say this. I'm going to talk about the fear of the Lord. And last night, never make plans with God because He seems to change things instantly for you. He had me open up a book and he says, here's what I want you to do. Because of Yom Kippur, the story of Jonah is one of the strongest stories in the Bible for Yom Kippur. And it's about rebellion, hiding, and obedience. And what I'd like to do is that I'll read a certain part of this, and then I'd like the congregation just to take a couple verses and read. So if you can get to your Bibles and open up to Jonah, and Alan will, he's got his track shoes on, he'll be running around with a microphone for you. Thank you, Alan, you're a blessing. And all right, let's start with, Father, we just commit ourselves to you, Lord. We thank you for this day. We thank you for the memories that are of this day. And Lord, it is such a pleasure to get to know about your feast and about your times that you had set up for us. It seems that a lot of it's gotten lost, and now to me it just seems like it's really coming back, because you are coming back. And it's just to me a sign of the times that we're in. You're drawing near, as Frank was saying, that Jesus is drawn nigh. I mean, it says that about the blood moons, and says prepare yourself. So we thank you, Lord. We commit this service to you, Father, and may it bring you honor and glory in the name of Yeshua. We just love you and we praise you. The story of Jonah says, then comes the afternoon. The Torah reading is great. Are small parts of one of the books of the prophets. The Hafara. I think of that. Huh? I knew I'd get an answer. That word, Haftarah, is a rather small part of the book of prophets. The Haftarah for the afternoon service of Yom Kippur is different. Now, there's a morning and there's an afternoon. Of course, we're morning one right now. The morning one is called a Yitzkor. I'm probably saying that wrong, but it's for not the dead. That's what the Greek word is, Hebrew word, excuse me. Only the dead of the congregation, it says, but all the Jews dead of persecution, oppression. On Yom Kippur, the end of the day, days of awe. We die in a way that we are reborn again as we shed our sins from the start of the year afresh. So it is time to think of those who went before us. In most synagogues, the Yom Kippur, the Yitzkor, service now includes prayer for the 6 million Jews who died under the Nazi regime. The service reaches another high point in the afternoon when the Avodah is read. This describes the Yom Kippur service of the Temple of Jerusalem. the Haftarah for the afternoon service of Yom Kippur is different. It is in the entire book of Jonah. There are two main points in this book, and neither has anything to do with the whale. God commands Jonah to go in the city of Nineveh, but Jonah tries to run away from God, as we all know. That's why he took the ship and wound up in the fish. Eventually, he gets to Nineveh. The people there were very wicked, and Jonah must have thought they deserved to be punished. Besides, they were a great enemy of the Jews. So why should Jonah go and speak to them? But the Nineveites listened to Jonah. They repented and changed their way. The entire city, with its whole population, was saved from the destruction. Jonah didn't like it, but God did. What the book of Jonah says is, man cannot escape God no matter where he flees. Nor can man escape the responsibility that he, because he is a man. You must face God. You must face your duties as a human being. God's mercy, just that song, that beautiful song, is over all the earth, over the Jews and the non-Jews, over those who believe in God and those who worship idols. All that is necessary to do is recognize wrongdoings and try to correct it. The people in Nineveh were idol worshippers, but because they repented their sin, God was good to them. As the sun began to set and the great symphony of Yom Kippur slows down, the congregation becomes still, as if awaiting a great event. Service approaches, nelia, meaning closing. The word originally applied to the gates of the temple, which were closed every day at sundown. By this ordinary meaning was given a much deeper religious meaning. The closing of the temple gates came to be a symbol of the closing of the gates of heaven of prayer, of repentance, of the last chance to change the decree. The judgment written in the book of heaven for Rosh Hashanah to be pointed to the congregation as prayer inscribes us in the book of life. Now the prayer changes to seal us in the life of book of life. The day of awe, the 10 days of repentance are coming to an end. There are three great Jewish statements in this Shema: the blessing of God's name, the cry, Adonai Elohim, the Lord, He is God. Each year they are said at the end of the Nela. Am I saying that right? Well, you get it. The congregation declares for everyone who hears, they will serve Him, and they will spend all the years He gives them following His laws. At the last cry, echo of the synagogue, in the world, a long blast is blown on the shofar, and the fast of Yom Kippur is over. And what it says here is that the book of Jonah is read on Yom Kippur to show the need for obedience to God's word, and that God's mercy is given to all, even idol worshippers who repent of wrongdoings. We are all great sinners, but we have a great Savior. He is our life. He is the only life. You can choose to go other directions, but the outcome of it is pretty poor. So if we could start with Rabbi Frank over here, and if you could just read four verses starting in Jonah 1, and we'll just keep going down the line and back and forth if you have your Bible with you.
The word of Adonai came to Jonah, the son of Amittai. Set out for the great city of Nineveh and proclaim it to it their wickedness that has come to my attention. But Jonah, in order to get away from Adonai, prepared to escape to Tarshish. He went down to Yafo, found a ship and headed for Tarshish, paid the fare and went aboard, intending to travel with them to Tarshish and getting away from Adonai. However, Adonai let loose over the sea a violent wind, which created such stormy conditions that the ship threatened to break to pieces. The sailors were frightened, and each one cried out to his God. They threw the cargo overboard to make the ship easier for them to control.
But Jonah had gone below into the hold of the ship, lain down and fallen sound asleep. So the captain approached him and said, "How is it that you are sleeping? Get up, call on your God. Perhaps your God will be concerned about us, so that we will not perish." Each man said to his mate, "Come, let us cast lots, so we may learn on whose account this calamity has struck us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, "Tell us now, on whose account has this calamity struck us? What is your occupation, and where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?"
He said to them, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Then the men became extremely frightened, and they said to him, "How could you do this?" For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. So they said to him, "What should we do to you that the sea may become calm for us?" For the sea was becoming increasingly stormy. And he said to them, "Pick me up, throw me into the sea. The sea will become calm for you, for I know that on account of me this great storm has come upon you."
Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to return to the land, but they could not, for the sea continued to grow more tempestuous against them. Therefore they cried out to the Lord and said, "We pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish for this man's life, and do not charge us with innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you." So they picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging.
Adonai prepared a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. From the belly of the fish, Jonah prayed to Adonai, his God. He said, "Out of my distress, I called to Adonai, and he answered me. From the belly of Sheol, I cried, and you heard my voice. For you threw me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood enveloped me. All your surging waves passed over me. I thought, 'I have been banished from your sight, but I will look, I will again look at your holy temple.' The water surrounded me, threatened my life. The deep closed over me, seaweed twined around my head."
To the roots of the mountains I sank down, to the earth beneath barred me in forever. But you, Lord my God, brought up my life from the pit. When my life was ebbing away, I remember you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say salvation comes from the Lord. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land.
Barb, could you hold a second? Now you see, how Jonah started out, does this remind you of your life? That how God had called you to be obedient, and we all wanted to turn around and run and go the other way? Or we thought his plan wasn't the right plan for our lives at that time. But then, when Jonah says he's a Hebrew, it seemed there was a change in his whole demeanor at that point. Because then he starts standing up for his faith and telling the men to throw him overboard. This wasn't Jonah. This was God speaking through Jonah. And I just find it fascinating that how you just in those first couple chapters you see this change in his life. And as we continue, you'll see more.
And the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go to the great city Nineveh and announce to it the declaration that I am speaking to you." So Jonah got up and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter the city a day's journey. And he cried and he said, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown." So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast, and they put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them to the least of them.
For the word of the Lord came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid down his robe from them, and covered him with sackcloth and with ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, "Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. But let the man and the beast be covered with the sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not?"
But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto his Lord and said, "I pray, O Lord, was not this my saying, when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish. For I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and great kindness, and repentest thee of thy evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live."
Then said the Lord, "Dost thou well to be angry?" So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth, and sat under it in a shadow, till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a gourd, and made it to come up from over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head, to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceedingly glad of the gourd. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass, when the sun did arise, that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted, that wished himself to die, and said, "It is better for me to die than to live."
Then God said to Jonah, "Is it good for you to be so angry about the plant?" "It is," he said. "I am angry enough to die." But Adonai said, "You have pity on the plant for which you did no labor and make it grow, that appeared overnight and perished overnight. So shouldn't I have pity on Nineveh, the great city that has in it more than 120,000 people who don't know their right hand from their left, as well as many animals?
Praise the Lord. Now, because you guys didn't get to read, Nikki's going to lead you all on a dance, so you got to follow. Like other Jewish holidays, Yom Kippur has several names and descriptions. More than anything else, Yom Kippur is a day of forgiveness. So if we could all stand. And turn and face family, friend, whoever. And on that day, you'll say to them that you forgive them and you will be forgiven. Growing. If we do not forgive others for the wrong and the hurt they did to us, then our pain turns to hate. And just as love is life, so hate is a kind of death. If we hate, a part of us dies. And a part of us was a part of us dead. We cannot grow properly. We grow crookedly, mishappened by hate. So if we learn to forgive one another, it's easier to exist in life. Forgiveness is a part of repentance. And when we come to the Lord and ask for that forgiveness and truly repent of that forgiveness, your life is like the new planted seed that starts growing. And as it grows, God nurtures it and gives you strength and sets you for the joy, for the chore that He has for you. Because in Jeremiah 1:5 it says, I knew you before the foundation of the earth. I knew you in your mother's womb. And I had a plan for you. He has plans for each and every one of us. And until we walk into those plans, He tells us that we'll go out and make nations prophets of nations. Well, the word prophet, if you look it up, is not just someone who goes out and preaches or speaks. It's how we help one another, how we become family with one another. It's an area that the water, the sun, everything that's blessed upon us all points to the blood. Because without the blood, we are nothing. But with the blood, it's the life-sustaining force that's behind us, the force of the Son of God. Well, I didn't have a lot, but I don't really think it takes a lot for today. I just think it makes you think to get on your knees, ask God for forgiveness, repent, and ask your brothers and sisters for forgiveness, even those that back in your future. It may be locked back for years and years and years, and all of a sudden God will put it on your mind saying, boy, I need to ask forgiveness of this guy. Well, maybe you don't know where he's at or what they're doing, but when you're talking to God, He knows where everyone's at. He knows every star in the nation. He counts the hairs on your head. Well, some of us. And the ones that don't have it are already perfect, so. So, I just am so blessed. I am blessed with my children, my wife, my family. And if God was to say, you get nothing else from this point on, He's already gave me everything. So I praise Him. So thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your love. Mostly, Father, we thank you for your Son who gave up everything for us. We don't deserve it, but he loves us so much. He said, oh, yes, you do. So he gave it up for you, for me, for every one of us. So go out today. Even when you're in the store, bless somebody. You ever been at the counters when you walked out of the store and they go have a nice day and you look at them and say, you have a blessed day? It changes lives. I had a Muslim man in Chicago, 3 o'clock in the morning, standing behind a glass cage, protective shield. Very nice gentleman, just said, have a nice evening. And we were on a mission trip out there, out in, not Chicago, Detroit. And I looked at him and says, you be blessed today. This guy came out of the booth, followed me out of the door, yelling at the top of his lungs, saying, you be blessed too. You just be blessed all your life. I mean, he just couldn't stop talking. It changed. We watched this man change. In India, when I traveled there, we had Hindu radicals following us around. And I don't understand this, but there's a lot of things I don't understand, but not picking on anybody. They're 4'9", and they're carrying a stick. Now, why is that frightening? But we watch these people when the Holy Spirit filled the sanctuary where we're at. We watched these Hindu radicals drop their sticks, fell on their knees, and started worshiping God. It was by that power of the Holy Spirit. And the community there just surrounded them. You know, you think they'd be mad because of the persecution that they were putting on them for what they were doing. They started loving on these people, and it was just an amazing sight of the Holy Spirit filling people. So, as the Bible tells us, we got to watch what comes out of our mouth and do everything in love for one another. God bless you and have a great day.